Hey guys, it's Emma
and Shannon,
and welcome back to our podcast, She's an Engineer.
Thanks for tuning in this week. In today's episode, we are going to talk about the history of International Women's Day. As many of you may know, March is Women's History Month, and specifically March 8th, last Friday, was International Women's Day. So today we're going to talk a little bit about the history of International Women's Day and how it's celebrated around the world today.
Okay, so first I'll give a little intro as to how March 8th was chosen and just like about International Women's Day. And so National Women's History Month was actually established by a presidential proclamation to draw attention to and improve the focus on women in historical studies. It began in New York City on March 8th, 1857, when female textile workers marched in protest of unfair working conditions and unequal rights for women. So it was one of the first organized strikes by working women, during which they called for a shorter workday and decent wages. In addition, several years later, or about 50 years later, on March 8th, 1908, women workers in the needle trades actually marched through New York City's Lower East Side to protest child labor and sweatshop working conditions, and they demanded women's suffrage. And beginning in 1910, March 8th became annually observed as International Women's Day. Women's History Week was instituted in 1978 to begin adding women's history into educational curriculum. And then in 1987, the National Women's History Project successfully petitioned Congress to include all of March as a celebration of the economic, political, and social contributions of women, which is how we ended up with Women's History Month in March.
And I was just telling Emma that at a local bookshop in Boise, there was actually a whole section dedicated to Women's History Month books. And I thought that was pretty interesting. And there were like some couple books about women in STEM and all of the history that women have gone through to be in STEM. So I think it's really awesome that there is a whole month that we can kind of learn more about women's history. So talking a little bit more about International Women's Day, International Women's Day, or IWD, is a global day celebrating the social, economic, cultural, and political achievements of women. The day also marks a call to action for accelerating gender parity. Significant activity is witnessed worldwide as groups come together to celebrate women's achievements or rally for women's equality. Marked annually on March 8th, IWD is one of the most important days of the year to celebrate women's achievements, educate and raise awareness about women's equality, call for positive change for advancing women, lobby for accelerated gender parity, and fundraise for women-focused charities. The IWD 2024 campaign theme is the Inspire Inclusion. And when we inspire others to understand and value women's inclusion, we forge a better world. And when women themselves are inspired to be included, there's a sense of belonging, relevance, and empowerment.
Yeah. All right. And there's a different theme every single year.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Next, we'll talk about the history and just like the general timeline of International Women's Day and how it came to be. So last we left off in 1857 when the female textile workers marched through New York City, and now we're going to fast forward to 1908. So in 1908, great unrest and critical debate was occurring among women. Women's oppression and inequality were spurring women to become more vocal and active in campaigning for change. Then in 1908, 15,000 women marched through New York City demanding shorter hours, better pay, and voting rights. And then in 1909, a year later, in accordance with a declaration by the Socialist Party of America, the first National Women's Day was observed across the United States on February 28th. And women continued to celebrate National Women's Day on the last Sunday of February until 1913.
In 1910, a second international conference of working women was held in Copenhagen, and a woman named Clara Zetkin, the leader of the Women's Office for the Social Democratic Party in Germany, tabled the idea of an International Women's Day. She proposed that every year in every country there should be a celebration on the same day, aka a Women's Day, to press for the demands. The conference of over 100 women from 17 countries representing unions, socialist parties, women's working women's clubs, and including all three women elected to the Finnish parliament, greeted the suggestion with unanimous approval, and thus International Women's Day was the result.
And then in 1911, so following the decision agreed at Copenhagen in Denmark, International Women's Day was honored for the first time in Austria, Denmark, Germany, and Switzerland on March 19th, 1911. More than 1 million women and men attended International Women's Day rallies, campaigning for women's right to work, vote, be trained to hold public office, and end discrimination. However, less than a week later, on March 25th, the tragic Triangle Fire in New York City took the lives of more than 140 working women, most of them Italian and Jewish immigrants. This disastrous event drew significant attention to working conditions and labor legislation in the United States that became a focus of subsequent International Women's Day events. 1911 also saw the Women's Bread and Roses campaign.
Then, on the eve of a World War I campaign for peace, Russian women observed their first International Women's Day on February 23rd, the last Sunday in February. Following discussions, International Women's Day was agreed to be marked annually on March 8th, that translated in the widely adopted Gregorian calendar from February 23rd, and this day has remained the global date for International Women's Day ever since. In 1914, further women across Europe held rallies to campaign against the war and express women's solidarity. For example, in London, there was a march from Bow to Trafalgar Square in support of women's suffrage on March 8, 1914. Sylvia Pankhurst was arrested in front of the Charing Cross Station on her way to speak at Trafalgar Square.
Then in 1917, on the last day of February, Russian women began a strike for bread and peace in response to the death of over 2 million Russian soldiers in World War I. These women, opposed by political leaders, continued to strike until 4 days later, and the Tsar was forced to abdicate, and the provisional government granted women the right to vote in Russia. The date the women's strike commenced was Sunday, February 23rd, on the Julian calendar that was then in use in Russia. This day on the Gregorian calendar in use elsewhere was March 8th.
Mm-hmm. Fast forwarding from 1917 all the way to 1975. In 1975, International Women's Day was marked for the first time by the United Nations. And in December 1977, the General Assembly adopted a resolution proclaiming a United Nations Day for Women's Rights and International Peace to be observed on any day of the year by member states in accordance with their historical and national traditions.
Then in 1996, so fast forwarding about 20 years later, the UN announced their first annual theme, which was celebrating the past, planning for the future, which was followed in 1997 with Women at the Peace Table, then in 1998 with Women and Human Rights, then in 1999 with World Free of Violence Against Women. So this is when they started having themes for International Women's Day each year.
Mm-hmm. By the new millennium in the year 2000, there was little mainstream activity occurring for International Women's Day in most countries around the world. The world had moved on, and in many spheres, feminism wasn't a popular topic. Something was needed to reignite International Women's Day, giving it the respect it deserves and raise awareness. There was urgent work to do, battles had not been won, and gender parity had still not been achieved. There was a strong need to engage the mainstream masses and encourage and support collective action.
Then in 2001, so following a year of planning and collaborative conversations with various women's groups, charities, and further organization, the InternationalWomen'sDay.com platform was launched with the specific aim of re-energizing the day and inviting mass participation, a focus which continues to this day. This website was launched in a pre-social media world, and so this was basically a site to basically galvanize the troops and to mobilize the communities and to inspire collective action without the use of like Facebook, Eventbrite, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, that all of those sites that we have today. And this was also a time when the rise of women was still largely seen as the fall of men. And so this website was useful in that it was a free, useful hub to encourage IWD events, to share information about the day and wider gender issues, and to celebrate the achievements of women. And this website is still in use today and is kept up to date. And every year they launch a new theme on the InternationalWomen'sDay.com platform.
And then in 2011, 100 years after the first celebrated International Women's Day, which was celebrated in Austria, Denmark, Germany, and Switzerland, as we mentioned, after the conference in Copenhagen, in the United States, President Barack Obama calling Americans to mark International Women's Day by reflecting on the, quote, the extraordinary accomplishments of women, end quote, in shaping the country's history. In the United Kingdom, celebrity activist Annie Lennox led a march across one of London's iconic bridges, raising awareness in support for global charity Women for Women International. Further charities such as Oxfam have run extensive IWD activities, and many celebrities and business leaders actively support the day. International Women's Day was finally starting to become more mainstream and inclusive, with groups everywhere around the world participating. It's kind of crazy that it took about 100 years after women's suffrage for this day to really be recognized around the world.
Yeah, I agree. It's interesting to see how it's been celebrated and how it's evolved since it started.
Yeah, and even in our lifetime too, because right around the years we were born is when they started doing all of the different themes for International Women's Day each year. And then, like, as we were growing up in 2011 was when it really caught on and we started to also celebrate March as Women's History Month.
Yeah. And now we'll talk a little bit about how people in different countries celebrate International Women's Day today. So in Italy, the 8th of March is International Women's Day. It's also called in Italian La Festa della Donna, where the importance of women is celebrated by the giving and receiving of mimosa blossoms or flowers. And then in Romania, International Women's Day is also celebrated in a similar way to Mother's Day, and it provides a reason for people, particularly men, to recognize their mothers, grandmothers, and friends with children by giving them cards and flowers. Mm-hmm.
In the U.S., International Women's Day is not an official holiday, though it is the month of March, which is Women's History Month, the period of time to call attention to women's achievements throughout history, both past and contemporary. On March 8th itself, capital cities sometimes will host women's rallies, conferences, and business events, bringing together conversation and thought leadership around the topic. This year, I think the only thing that I knew was that was going on for International Women's Day was a work event. We had like a 1-hour call with all of the women in the office and then had just some panel questions and discussion around International Women's Day. So I wish we did something a little bit, you know, a little more monumental for International Women's Day, but maybe that's how it'll evolve in the future. And then in Russia, though the date has been an official national holiday since 1918, its original meaning seems to have been largely forgotten due to political roots, and instead it recognizes women in general terms through gift giving.
Interesting. Yeah. Mm-hmm. In China, March 7th is actually called Girls' Day, but the country has also recognized International Women's Day since 1949. So on March 8th, employers are encouraged, though It's not mandatory to give their female staff a half day off. There's also a strongly rooted commercial side to the day in which men are encouraged to purchase presents for the women in their lives. And then in Australia, they have marked International Women's Day for decades, though marches have become particularly widespread since the early 1970s. And the day itself encompasses a variety of panel discussions, breakfasts, and events featuring prominent women in their fields speaking publicly to call for more representation, equality, and diversity across the board.
Mm-hmm. In Spain, after the unexpectedly large-scale success of a general strike in 2018, in which more than 5 million people walked out for 24 hours, the country continues to take to the streets. While a mass strike is not necessarily the focus of future International Women's Day, the Spanish people are clear in their aim to increase focus on rights for women and girls. And fun fact, during the large-scale strikes in Spain in 2018 was actually the time that I was studying abroad. So I came across a few of these women's strikes and actually joined one for a few blocks, but it was very large-scale, especially in the city of Madrid. I think a lot of the women were fighting for women's rights and equality and kind of focusing on the machismo, cultural aspect of the country. And then in the UK, held over 3 days in London, is the International Women's Day Festival, World Festival, and it features speakers, activists, and performers who come together to tackle issues facing women globally. Founded in the UK, WOW, or WOW, now has sister festivals in other parts of the world with discussions, talks, and exhibitions that intertwine and feed each other under the one name.
And then in Chile, the day is marked by marches throughout several cities, particularly Santiago, which is the capital of Chile, with protesters likely wearing green handkerchiefs to symbolize their support of sexual and reproductive rights. Chants, drumming beats, even elaborate costumes are also featured in these marches. And then in Argentina, International Women's Day has been celebrated since the 1900s, and Argentinians, they typically celebrate this day by giving presents to the women in their lives. However, in recent years, protests have also become a regular feature, with citizens increasingly taking to the streets to demonstrate against violence, the still present pay gap, equal representation in the arts, and other social change.
Mm-hmm. And before we wrap up here, I just wanted to ask two questions to you, Emma. The first one being, did you do anything to celebrate International Women's Day this year?
I did not. I really didn't see many International Women's Day celebrations mm-hmm. in my area or at my school or at any of the hospitals that I've been at. The only thing I saw was, I think, on, Instagram, there was, a filter or, a tag or, a hashtag yeah. or something to use. But mm-hmm. I really don't think it's, there are, big celebrations for International Women's Day, at least in the U.S. They're not really, a part of our culture, but hopefully we can make that, happen in the future.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And then last question, since I mentioned that my local library had a whole selection of books that were geared towards International Women's Day. I wanted to ask you if there was maybe one or a few books about women's history or written by a female author that you recently read and would recommend.
So I don't really have any books to recommend about women's history that I've recently read, but I think we read a couple books previously, maybe a couple years ago, about the women who worked at the radium shops.
Radium Girls.
Yes, the Radium Girls was really good. I would highly recommend that. It's really a demonstration of how maybe we have to acknowledge, even now, I think in medical practice, acknowledging women's pain and suffering as legitimate is important, and also good working conditions and just like other topics that are brought up by the book. I think that's really interesting. But we've been reading a book by an author, Stephanie Land, in our book club called Class. That's like her most recent book. And then we also read Made, which was her first book, I believe. And I would recommend. I think that it's really interesting. It talks a lot about like working class in America. It talks a lot about like navigating motherhood, like as a single mom, navigating like the social systems and like navigating like the difficulties of navigating government assistance programs. I think it's like really interesting and really enlightening. So
I agree. And that book also talks about the author has experienced a lot of imposter syndrome in her life, and then also like prioritizing her daughter and making sure her daughter is living the best life that she can give her, but also wanting to pursue her own passion too and become a writer. So
right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Along with that, I wanted to highlight a book similar to Radium Girls, is The Immortal Life of Henrietta Lacks. And I think that's like a really great book. That might be one of my favorite books of all time because it is about Henrietta Lacks, which was an African-American woman living in, I think it was like Maryland area, East Coast. And she experienced a lot of health issues and had a lot of trouble finding doctors that did take her seriously or were able to help treat her concerns. And then she went on to, I guess, her lasting legacy changed the world for women's health and healthcare in the future.
Yeah. No, I think we both read that book and I thought it was really good. We've read a lot of different books about like women and written by women, I think, for our book club. So we'll put like some of our recommendations also in the description of the episode.
Mm-hmm. That's a good idea. The last one I wanted to mention was Educated, which is another one and I both read by Tara Westover. And that was a story of Tara's life growing up in a more rural area out in the Mountain West and having some pretty extremist parents' views and how she navigated that and ended up going to college and then finding herself through all of that too and kind of rediscovering her life and interest in life.
Yeah, one more that I have to call out is A Lab of One's Own by Rita Colwell. Yeah. We also read that. We both read that for book club, and it's a really good book. It's so basically Rita Colwell was the first woman to lead the National Science Foundation, and she's also like a microbiologist, and her book about like navigating through labs and navigating through like male-dominated fields of science is really interesting. So I would highly recommend that one as well.
Yes, and I think that wraps up our episode for today. So I know we're a couple days after International Women's Day, but we encourage you to learn more about women's history and also to tell an important woman in your life happy International Women's Day. And thank you all for listening this week. We'll see you again in 2 weeks. Bye.
Bye.